Welcome back to the show. Well, the House of Commons Justice Committee has agreed to study the SNC-Lavalin affair, but there are questions about how the committee will go about its business. Joining me on the line now is the chair of the House of Commons Justice Committee. It's Anthony Housefather, also the MP for Mount Royal. Good morning.
Good morning, Elias.
Let's talk about this. First thing I want to ask you is, you know, this is a partisan committee, but I think Canadians want answers. What do you think this committee will be able to do?
So there's a couple of things. First of all, I would note for everyone that it is highly unusual that any government would ever allow a committee which is dominated by members of their party to investigate the actions of the Prime Minister's office and the Attorney General. That would never have happened under the Harper government or any other government that I would ever remember. But we felt independently that while everything involved is very circumstantial, it's all hinging on how you interpret Jody Wilson-Raybould's resignation letter, how you interpret what she wrote when she was shuffled from the Attorney General's portfolio to Veterans Affairs, that Canadians need to be reassured, because while I know the Prime Minister and I know the people involved, and I tend to trust that what they say is accurate, I know that most Canadians are looking at it and they're saying, well, what's going on? So we, as Liberals on the committee, agreed that our committee would investigate. But Elias, as you said, the problem is that our committee is inherently partisan. The Liberals on the committee are obviously inclined to believe the Prime Minister. The Conservatives and NDP on the committee are obviously inclined to be the reverse and want to create election issues where none likely exist. And our committee is not a perfect venue to do this kind of a study. But there
are things that you could do, right? There are things like opening up the witness list. There are several restrictions that the Conservatives and NDP are not happy about. Couldn't you lift some of those restrictions in this case to ensure that, you know, Canadians are seeing a fuller picture out of this committee?
So right now there's no restrictions. Right now we passed a motion to do a review of both what the applicable law is and the actual interactions themselves. We listed three initial witnesses that we know are willing to appear, and we agreed to have a meeting on Tuesday in camera, which is where we normally pick witnesses and have better discussions, because the in-camera meetings without the cameras are much less partisan, and you can actually have a normal back and forth between the members of the different parties and come up with other witnesses. So the witness list is not by no means closed or exhaustive. We said, including but not limited to the three we picked yesterday. So all these concerns that we're not going to call certain key players right now, that they're not valid. We haven't determined who else to call. And again, remember that a lot of this is based on the fact that Jody Wilson-Raybould hasn't spoken. Nobody has come forward to actually claim they have personal knowledge of any of these allegations. So right now, they're unspecified allegations from unnamed people in a story that appeared in the Globe and Mail. But we don't really know who the players were that interacted on this specific issue, because nobody knows who talked to her.
So let's talk about what we do know. We know when this scandal broke, the Prime Minister said that there was no direct order on this. Then after that, he also said that the proof is in the pudding, that Jody Wilson-Raybould is still in cabinet, and that speaks volumes. Now she's resigned for cabinet. I assume that also speaks volumes. Why don't we let her speak about this?
She's allowed to speak. She could speak any moment that she wants to speak. She claims she's constrained by privilege.
So and that's not true.
By privilege to speak in front of the newspapers or the press right now, she'd be constrained by privilege to speak in front of the committee. The issue with Jody Wilson-Raybould, nobody is stopping her from speaking, but she rightly is saying that there's a legal concept called privilege, where she was the lawyer for the government, and as a result, she can't speak until she's released from that privilege. The Attorney General, David Lametti, who is another Montreal MP, is studying that question, but there's also that complicating factor that SNC-Lavalin is now involved in two cases before the courts, one where it's being prosecuted and one where it's appealing a decision where it was not given a remediation agreement. And it is possible, and that's what the Department of Justice, I imagine, is now investigating, that breaking privilege in this case will harm the prosecutions of SNC-Lavalin.
What does the cabinet resignation say to you?
Well, I think we can all look at it and say she was unhappy that she was shuffled from, you know, the Attorney General's position to Veterans Affairs. I think that's fairly clear. The Prime Minister has the undisputed right to choose who is in what cabinet position, and there's millions of reasons that people can be shuffled from one position to another, including the fact, for example, that there's a lot of legal issues coming up in Quebec, and the Prime Minister may well have decided he needed a justice minister that could speak French. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the idea that she was shuffled because of this, again, unproven allegation, to me is quite ridiculous. But at the same point in time, her resignation and the fact that she has not spoken to confirm the Prime Minister's statements clearly create an issue where Canadians are confused. And that's exactly why the Liberal members of the committee, including myself, I was the first one to do it, called for our committee to actually study it, because people are confused. And I do believe that we're first there for Canadians as opposed to being partisans. But the problem is we're also partisans, and our committee, being a partisan committee, is not an independent venue to do a proper analysis. We'll do our best, but yep, you're going to see a lot of back and forth that you wouldn't see if it was actually a court or an independent person doing an investigation.
Now, Anthony, you said the word ridiculous, but I think for a lot of Canadians, when they look at the chronology of this and they add 1 + 1 + 1 and some of those limited statements that have come out on social media, mm-hmm, from Jodi Wilson-Raybould, from her father and other people involved in this, they're adding that up, and they're not getting to a ridiculous conclusion. They're getting to a conclusion that makes sense, that this all has to do with SNC-Lavalin.
Okay, so number one, first of all, the shuffle occurred because Scott Bryson resigned, and then there was a cabinet shuffle. So number two, the shuffle, or she was not fired from her position at the time this incident occurred. None of this actually adds up. The idea that somebody is shuffled because they refuse to do a remediation agreement with SNC-Lavalin. People get shuffled in cabinets all the time. This is not something that I think adds up. If she had been fired in December, you know, she was Attorney General and she'd just been fired unknowingly in December, or November, when this was happening, well, maybe somebody could have said, well, that must be because of something that just happened. But the fact that she was shuffled in January when another minister decided to resign, that doesn't make any sense to me, especially since, again, there's a number of other issues that could have caused her to be transferred from that portfolio, including one that to me is very apparent, that there's a lot of justice issues this year, including the Charter of Values being proposed by Quebec, that are going to require a justice minister who is very able to communicate with Quebecers.
I just think, you know, it's interesting to start hearing this now. If that really was the case, perhaps we would have heard that when the cabinet shuffle actually happened, as opposed to now after the scandal.
There were no reasons given. You don't give reasons when you shuffle ministers. I've never heard any prime minister say, I'm shuffling a minister because of X, X, or X. Mm. I mean, there was no speculation at the time of the cabinet shuffle that it was because of SNC-Lavalin either. All of this is now people are saying that happened because of the allegations reported in the Globe and Mail. So again, I'm not now talking about the specific allegations in the Globe and Mail. I, of course, as a liberal, tend to believe the Prime Minister, but that doesn't mean that I know any specific facts related to the Globe and Mail allegations about pressure. What I'm now talking about is the cabinet shuffle. People have tried to tie, well, if she didn't follow them, that's why they shuffled her out. And I'm saying there's a lot of other logical reasons that I can think of as to why you'd want somebody right now in the justice portfolio who's able to speak French. Just as one thing, it could be a million other reasons.
I've got to cut it there, Anthony. Anthony Housefather, MP for Mount Royal, also the chair of the House of Commons Justice Committee. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Thank you very much.